Reading today is from 1 Kings chapter 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. And the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have you ever had one of those experiences where you do your best, you give your all, you try to be faithful, and what happens? You get trouble anyway. You have what some call bad luck, and you wonder what you bothered for in the first place. When it seems that if you're good, you expect to succeed, get rewarded, have just compensation for your efforts. But instead, you find nothing but pain and frustration and trouble. It's kind of the situation we see here with this good woman of Zarephath. We heard last week how she fed the prophet, the text right before this, with the very last of her food, her last rations. She had just enough to make one more meal for herself and her son, and then because famine was so severe, she was going to sit down and just wait to die. But Elijah told her, "Feed me something first, and then she could go and fix that last little meal." So she did. God caused that little bit of flour and the littlest bit of oil that was left to last for many days, long enough for the drought to end and a new crop to grow and new flour and oil to be produced. But then her son died. The heck? Seemed to her to be insult to injury after all that she had just done. So cruel. She makes a connection, though, between her misfortune and her specific sins. Can't say that she's right or wrong because the text doesn't say it. But I suspect she's making a connection that's stretching a bit too far. Life is filled with pain and illness and sorrow because we live in a fallen world, but every problem is not connected to every specific sin. But what the woman did do that was correct and quite natural was to make the connection between humanity and its troubles and sin, between her close contact here with God through this prophet and guilt. Because God is holy. When we come into close contact with God, either through his word or his messengers, the law of God is always brought to the fore. We don't have to look for it. We don't have to even want it. God is holy, and wherever his holiness is, seen or felt, our sin stands in bright relief, and the law of God is preached, even when no one says a word or needs to. Well, Elijah, he takes the dead child and he prays. After saying to her, "Give me your son," trouble and need brings the prophet to prayer. And God answers his prayer and brings the boy back to life. With God, truly nothing is impossible. And the woman takes the healing of her son, this great blessing from God, and she understands that this blessing is evidence that Elijah is God's prophet. And that what Elijah says when he preaches God's word is truth. Well, blessed are those you who believe, but yet have not seen such things. When God shows his power and his goodwill toward us, then we too should be brought to trust in his word and his promises and his will for us. Well, what is God's will for you? And how do we know that? Well, we look at the cross of Jesus Christ. When we want to see what is in the heart of God, we don't measure his love for us or his will towards us by the moment, by how we feel or what happens to us in that specific instant. Whatever in that experiential moment is either good or bad. Moments change constantly. Emotions change constantly. God does not change. He says so. His will towards us is always the same, and we are reminded of that fact every time we lift our eyes to this cross. That God demonstrated his love for us and his will to save us by giving us his Son. Jesus was born of us, fully human. And what a humbling step that was, but there was more. He lived, poor by any standards, in a backwards nation and in a backwards time. He faced all of the temptations to sin and all that is common to man. He endured hostility toward himself for nothing more than being holy and righteous. And finally, he himself allowed himself to be falsely convicted and willingly bore our sins and guilt to the cross. He suffered almost unimaginable agony of body and the wrath of God against our sins in his soul. And so he who is God was forsaken by God. He died. And even though he had earned the right to life without end, he died for you. He died in your place. He paid the price demanded by the justice of his Father for your sins. And then he rose from the grave. Just like this widow's son, except he didn't need a prophet throwing his body over him or interceding with his Father for his life. Instead, this man, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for you, and he took it up again by his own power, raised by the Spirit of God to proclaim that sin was done with, guilt was no more, and that even death was conquered by his life. And his resurrection tells you, dear friends, that God loves you and wants you to live with him beyond death and every symptom and every consequence of sin that you come across. Because Jesus has died and has risen from the grave, your sins are forgiven. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You want to be like this widow? Do you want to be like the widow of Zarephath? Do you want to see the great things that God has done, particularly the great things he's done just for you, and find in them the evidence of God's word that it is true? Then see with your ears. His love for you is as real as his word says that it is. His will for you is life and health and peace, but not merely for today and tomorrow in this corrupt and painful and passing world. He wants you at his side for all eternity. He desires that you live for him today and be with him forever. And his will for you is so complete that he preaches to you each and every week, brings you his holy supper of the body and blood of Jesus Christ to strengthen and establish you in his love. Dear little flock, don't fret and worry. No matter what that moment may seem like, or what the danger may appear to be, or whatever plagues you, God can handle it. He already has. In the name of Jesus. Amen.